Well, good morning. A little bit of a disclaimer. I had no collaboration with what they said, the scriptures, the sovereignty of God, Debbie's picture, the scripture she read. We knew nothing of what we were doing. So if you hear something very similar to what just happened, it was not this great programming expertise thing we did. My programming is the Lord's. If he doesn't do it, it doesn't get done. I'm just not that smart. So, but that was good. That was good. I appreciate that, man. That was just point us to Jesus. Just keep pointing us to Jesus. That was amazing. Talking and have been talking a little bit about the ascension of Christ and the rapture, if you're a rapture believer. Today I want to talk a little bit about several scriptures. We'll come back, we'll look at the rapture and that possibility, what that might look like. We have some of the youth are with us today. Today is Family Sunday, so the teens are with us. And I wanted to speak at a level that they could get. So I'm going to hit about five passages. The first ones are in John chapter 6, verse 15. And if there's a title to this message, it is God's Loving Hand. And we need to know that right now. As our world is unraveling, it is in God's control. He is still sovereign over us. There's nothing being done that's not in His control. Revelation chapter 6, the seals are opened, and we discover by the end of that chapter, this is the wrath of the Lamb. This is not the enemy winning. Remember that. The enemy is not winning. This is the wrath of the Lamb and Him who sits on the throne as that begins to unfold. So let's just remember the loving hand of God. John chapter 6, verse 15. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him a king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Pretty simple passage there. He just fed 5,000 people. It was a pretty amazing day. They were eating and loving life and loving Jesus at this point. And they were ready to throw him up on their shoulders and make him the king. It says they were going to take him by force to make him a king. And Jesus chose the cross. A king or a cross? Now that's pretty amazing. That's the love of our Father. That's the hand and sovereignty of our Father, of our Savior, Jesus. Had the opportunity there, they would have, by force, taken him and installed them as their king. But there's a higher purpose. There was a higher purpose than this life. There was a higher purpose than my kingdom or his kingdom, than his pleasure, than his goodness. There was a higher purpose. We need to remember that. We need to look at this life and come back a little bit to that and go, there are higher purposes than my comfort and my pleasure, particularly as we are going to remember Memorial Day. If you're going to remember Memorial Day, remember those soldiers, those people, and I would include maybe firefighters and police as well. Remember those people who see a higher purpose, a greater good, that they will put their life on the line to protect others. Throughout the history of America, we were a much more God-recognizing nation. I'm not saying they were all born again believers, but I'm saying in our history, soldiers, law enforcement, were much more recognizing of a God, of a sovereign God, to where they would serve the community and the public in a way that if they lost their life, there was a greater good and they would put it in God's hands to take care of them. As we move this day into a more godless society, and that is where they want to take us, as they again pronounce God is dead, again, and just the general public, the general feeling, and people don't recognize a sovereign God, we're losing this. It's all about our comfort, our feelings, our wants. Everything is about the here and now. And we need to rekindle that there is a greater good and a higher purpose that even our Savior, Jesus Christ, was faced with a king, being a king or a cross, and he already knew he had a kingdom, not of this world. He is a king, but not this king. He chose the cross rather than a king, and they were going to take him by force to do that. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 12. I'll begin reading at verse 11. Jesus again speaking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Just so you know, we are the other sheep. We are the other sheep. We are the Gentile sheep that he has brought in to the fold, and we hear his voice. So Jesus is speaking about these hired hands over the flock who really don't love the flock. And so when danger comes, when trouble comes, when an enemy comes, persecution, they leave. They don't care. But he will stay and lay down his life for his sheep because they are his sheep and he loves them. The wolf would want to snatch them away, but Jesus will lay down his life for that. What a great application for your pastor. These are Jesus' sheep. He owns us. Am I a hired hand, or am I a shepherd of his flock? And that's putting the heavy on me, right? And in America today, we have a lot of hired hands speaking in pulpits today, building their kingdom, making things look beautiful and brilliant. I'm not a hired hand. I see you and I pastor this flock as Jesus' own sheep. There is a wolf. There is an enemy who wants to snatch people out. But Jesus will lay down his life. Maybe that's an application for all of us. When we care about the souls and the lives of people. And that's why when Pat says, I feel loved in this place, like I've never felt loved in this place. And I see love. I see all of us as one family, loved. That's important. That's important. That means somebody's on the right track here. You guys are loving each other well. You see each other as Jesus' sheep. And that's amazing. That's how we have to develop and grow. There is a wolf. There is an enemy. But Jesus has laid down his life at the cross, and it won't happen. The wolf will not get you. John chapter 10, same chapter. If you'll just look down the page just a little bit, verse 24. Is this what you were reading, Debbie? Yes. This is crazy. She starts reading this, and I'm going, that's one of my verses. Verse 24, so the Jews gathered around him, and like he's, you know, Jesus is teaching this amazing teaching, and some of it they get, and some of it they don't, and he just kind of leaves them kind of hanging sometimes. And so these Jewish leaders really gathered around him and said, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you and you don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you're not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one, no wolf, no person, no thing, nothing, no one will snatch them out of my loving hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Uh-oh. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered, I have shown you many good works from the Father. Which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered him, it's not for a good work that we're going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you being a man, make yourself God. Make no question, he claimed to be the Son of God, God in the flesh. But the important part for me and you to see is in verse 28. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. That doesn't mean we'll never die. That means we will never perish eternally. We are safe in the loving hand of Jesus Christ. No matter what this world throws our way, we are safe in the loving hand of Jesus Christ. No one can snatch them out of my hand, he said. And even more, the Father has given them to me. The Father is greater than all. No one can, no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. I am the Son of God. We are one. The Father and the Son are one. No one can take us out of the loving hand of God. We are safe. Trust your life. Give your life to Him, and it will be safe. Your life is safe. We're all going to die. We are all going to die. And we need to think of that higher purpose, that higher call than just this life. Paul said, if I live for this life only, if my hope in Christ is in this life only, I'm of all men the most miserable. He suffered countless things, but his hope was in the loving hand and a higher purpose. You know that the trouble we're having in this country and the direction they want to take us. Some of you have heard this. They actually want to hack the human being. They call it hacking the human being. They want to connect you to the internet, basically. Make you a superior being. And they say that the changes that will happen in the future won't be in the things around us. It'll be in you. You will be a part technology, part human type person thing. The fourth revolution, industrial revolution, is not about industry, it's about you and me being a superior being. And this whole thing, they'll tell you this, this is all public information. This whole thing of us changing and having a superior God, a creator, a sovereign God over us, and this whole thing, they said, that's gone, that's done, God is dead. We will become our next creator, Lord, and Savior. I can show it to you. You can hear it firsthand. I'm not making this up. And the United States has signed on the dotted line. Understand that. The United States has signed on the dotted line. Yes, God is dead. We must preserve this planet. We must do everything we can. Now, all this stuff, as I told you weeks ago, this all makes sense if there's no God. If it's all up to us, and we're going to do anything we can. So you and I stand on the promise of a higher purpose, a higher creator. There is a God sovereign over us. In total control. In total control. They will not win. But many on this planet will lose. Many will lose. The message is with us. We are the body of Christ. We must stand with Christ, with the gospel. I don't want anyone to lose. I want them to hear the shepherd's voice and follow him. He says his sheep will. Whether there's a wolf or whatever's around, his sheep will hear his voice and follow. I want us to do that. I want everyone here to do that. There is an enemy. But look, when you are in Jesus' hands, no one or nothing will snatch you out of his hand. Nothing. You are safe now. You are safe eternally. When we die here, that's not the wrath of God. That's graduation. That's graduation for us. Man, I have sat by so many sick and dying Christians wanting to talk to a pastor. And if I really, really, really feel confident they're a believer, you know what I tell them? This is win-win. This is win-win. And if you get up out of that bed and you walk out that door, you win. And if you die, you win. Because you are safe in the hands of Jesus Christ. And no one can take him out of their hands. You need to know that. There is a much higher purpose here. Things scare us here. No one will get you out of Jesus' hands. That's where you need to be, in the hands of Jesus. Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 and 19. John, you say your youth group is in... Just did Matthew chapter 13? All right, here you go. Matthew chapter 13. Youth group, you guys are on this one, man. This is sharp. You're ready. You can ask me some hard questions afterwards. I love it. I love it when you do. So I'm going to look at verse 18 and 19. This is critical, and we often don't think this. He's explaining the parable of the sower. Most of you know or are familiar with the parable of the sower. So the seed is scattered there on this path, and he says this is what that means, verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. All right? So you know the next ones, right? The persecution comes. The trouble of this life comes. The fears, the scares, the problems of this life come. And because they have no root, they fall away, it says. They fall away. Now, that doesn't mean they leave the faith. This particular fall away is the word scandalon, and it means it trips them. It trips them. They fall, they stumble, they crash and burn. Trouble comes, and if there's no root in you, if it's just all here, there's no root, you'll trip and fall, you'll stumble. In a heartbeat, you'll crash and burn. And we will know who has root and who doesn't have root, because trouble will come. And those without root crash and burn. And then there's others, right? The cares, the pleasures of this world, out they go. I mean, it's just like, I don't have time for church. I don't have time for all this. I don't have time to study the Bible. I don't have time. I got so many fun, cool things to do out there. So there are two types of things that will prove out who we are. They are the troubling things, and they are the fun and cares of this life things. But in this first one, verse 18 and 19, this first one, I don't want us to overlook this. The Word of God comes to you, and youth, I want you to get this. The Word of God comes to you, and you don't understand it. And you think, Pastor Terry, you teach sometimes so deep, and you say things that are like, what? I can't get that. What are you talking about? And you don't understand it. And you think, okay, well, it's just for the Sunday school teacher, the pastor, whatever. I don't understand that, blah, blah, blah. And you think it just went away. But it didn't go away. Somebody snatched it out of your heart. See that? I'm not lying. When someone does not understand, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. We have an enemy. And he just doesn't want life to be miserable for us, which he does. If you don't understand the Word of God and it just kind of evaporates like a mist, it didn't just go away. He took it. So the question then is, you've heard something spoken of the Word of God in youth group or this old bird up here, and you don't understand it? Well, guess what? It's on you. Pursue it. Because someone wants to snatch it out of your heart. And it bear no fruit. You, youth group, and you, church, if you don't understand something, dig. Find the answer. Ask me. Ask somebody. Dig. Get in the Word of God. Wherever your favorite resource is. Because I promise you, this word is life, and somebody doesn't want it in you. And he's not just here to hurt you, to make you go broke, to make your life miserable. He does not want life in you. If you don't understand, dig. I don't know if you understand or you don't understand. If you don't tell me, I didn't get that. What'd that mean? Has anybody here ever come to me and said, hey, Pastor Terry, I don't get what, I don't understand what you said. And I've said, tough. Have you ever heard that? I've never said that. Matter of fact, you might not come and say that because you're going to get a half an hour lecture on what that means. I want you to know what this means. I want you to know what I said. But there's somebody who doesn't. And your enemy will snatch that word away from you so fast your head will spin. Dig it out. If you don't understand, ask and ask again and again and again and again. We have an enemy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know what? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Back to the rapture. We think. First Thessalonians chapter 4. You're probably a little bit familiar with this. Mark, just leave that one right there. I'm going to begin at verse 13. Paul says, "We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers." God doesn't want you to be uninformed. Paul doesn't want you to be uninformed about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope, and we have hope. He's talking about dead people. And he uses this word, we talked about this Wednesday. I think he uses this word asleep to give them hope. They're just sleeping. They'll wake up. Someday they will come back. I think he chose that word to give them hope. He says, "I don't want you to have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, we will not precede those who have fallen asleep." We won't go first. We who are alive when the Lord comes, we won't go first. Those who are asleep, the dead, they go first to Jesus. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." If a soldier, a veteran has died and they know Christ, they will beat us to Jesus when he comes back. Those people in Uvalde, Texas, those who knew the Lord, they will beat us to Jesus when he comes back. We're going too. But this planet is not the end. This is a blip on the radar screen. And we will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we will always be with the Lord. From then on, we will be with the Lord forever and ever. That is life. That is life. So, caught up together, the loving hand of God, the rapture. You know my position on the rapture, right? I'm not 100%, but I'm a lot. But I do see some room. I need some answers yet on it. But I really do lean into the rapture. I really do. So, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. If it happens, it happens. And he's not going to ask Terry permission. It will happen. But I'm just looking at the scriptures because I don't want to go past the scriptures. I just want to stay right here. So we will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Now, some people say, look, the word rapture is not even in the Bible. Here's our word. There it is. Caught up together. Arpazo. Rapture. You know, it really means snatched away. Right? Some of you, I don't know if you caught on yet, but every passage I read had harpazo in it. So maybe you could say rapture. I mean, if you wanted to. John chapter 6, they wanted to take him by force. Harpazo. By force, they wanted to snatch Jesus away and make him king. Did they want to rapture him? I don't know. What's that mean? But that word, caught up, that we call rapture, it's there. They wanted to take Jesus by force. In John chapter 10, there's a wolf that wants to snatch you away, devour you. Harpazo. The wolf wants to rapture you. He wants to snatch you out of the hands of God, out of life. He wants to throw you into eternal damnation. The wolf does. John chapter 6. John chapter 10, verse 28, 29. No one is able to snatch you out of the hands of God. Harpazo. No one is able to rapture you out of the hand of God. No one's able to. Nobody can. Nobody will. You're safe in His loving hand, and no one can snatch you away. You're there. If you have given your life to Christ, you have trusted Him, you have surrendered, submitted to the King, to the Lord, no one will take you out. No one will snatch you away. Matthew chapter 13, verse 18 and 19. The enemy wants to snatch that word out of your heart. You don't understand it, and you just go, oh, well, it wasn't you. There's an enemy. There is an enemy snatching that word out of your heart. Harpazo. Harpazo. By force, taking that word right out of your heart. Your mind goes blank. You can't even remember it. That's the enemy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You're not destined for wrath. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, Paul quite clearly says, you are not destined for wrath. Now, death in this life, hard times, that is not the wrath of God. The wrath of God is coming. Read Revelation chapter 6. It just begins, and I don't want any part of it. The wrath of God is coming later, but you and I haven't been destined for that. Do you know why? Because He will, by force, snatch us with His loving hand. He will snatch us away from His wrath. Oh, we might feel some of it. Building like birth pains, we will feel some of it, no question. But the wrath, when the wrath gets here, and the eternal wrath, by force, He will snatch you out of it. And no one can snatch you out of His hand. It's all harpazo. It's all His loving hand. The devil wants to snatch you, he can't. God's hand holds you, he will. And someday he will snatch us right out before his wrath sets in a big and real way. So let me just conclude, let me just end with a couple thoughts. Number one, if your mind, and maybe your heart, if it's trapped here in the here and now, it's trapped here in the violence and the evil and the sin, and it's everywhere. If it's trapped in where they want to take us, we can do some awful things. If there's no God and we let them trap our minds here, there's some awful things that are going to happen on planet Earth. And we will be tripped up, scandal on. We will be choked out by the cares and the things of this life. We will just crash and burn when trouble comes. But if our minds are set free in Christ, He is my Lord. And no one can take me out of His hand. And this is not the end. If we can think with that higher purpose, that higher meaning of life in Christ, we are free. We are free from the bulk of the anxiety and the trouble that we feel around us right now. Our minds have to go there. We have to think that way. We have to think the loving hand of God. No one will snatch us out of his hands. We have a home. I go to prepare a place for you. Let me try and piece this one together for you, and I close. So, as we look back over our history of America, we read our history books of those brave and valiant soldiers, police officers, firefighters, heroes who were willing to risk their life for this a higher cause, freedom, life, whatever it is. I'm not saying they're all believers. I'm just saying they understood there were higher goals and purposes. If you and I can grab a hold of the higher purpose in Christ, we're here to bear fruit. We're here to save people from the wolf. We're here to lay down our life, to share the gospel, to bring them to the one who can hold them in his hands, and no one will ever snatch them away. And it's the message is on us. There's a much higher purpose, much higher goal, much higher meaning to life. I'm saying if we grab that, we are much more willing to take a risk with this life than what we see happening out here today, where everybody, there's very minimal risk being taken, right? Our children are going to schools, and it feels like, is it a risk? Well, it's not a risk if they are safe in the hands of Jesus Christ and they have a higher purpose. Every little sneeze and sniffle that we get, it's not life-ending. Oh, no, it's a risk. I can't even go out into public and talk to people anymore because it's a risk. I say we eliminate much of this worry about risk if we know we are safe in the hands of Jesus Christ and no one, no wolf, no person, no one, no place, nothing will snatch us out of his hands. I'm much more apt to risk. And you can call me stupid if you want. Last couple years, I've went to people's house who needed help, who needed something. I walked in their house, no mask. I walked in and I helped them. Took a medicine. Helped them in their home. Because the risk just wasn't worth the calling. It didn't equal the calling, the higher purpose. And you and I will look courageous. Well, we're really not. I'm not a courageous guy. But our faith will look like courage. And we will take a risk. Because we have a higher calling, a higher purpose. We are the body of Christ, and we will love people. We will know their eternity is at stake. And the enemy, you do what you want to do. You do what you want to do, enemy. But you'll never get me out of the hands of Jesus Christ, ever. My God is sovereign. And I will walk with my King. King whose kingdom's not of this earth, I walk with my king. And I will take a risk. I'm not going to be just totally stupid. Oh, you probably call me that. But I will take a risk. Please know, it's not courage. It's just faith. It's faith in the sovereign God. Who I am right there. I am right there. And you will never get me out of his hand. And you're there too. You're there too. Be a hero. Be a warrior. Be the body of Christ. Take up your cross. Turn down the kingdom of this world. And walk with the Savior, the sovereign God. Make a difference. The fields are still white with harvest. Make a difference. He doesn't lose. We are on the winning side. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your calling. It humbles me. I have no idea why you would want me on your team except to glorify you. But thank you. I love you. And you are my king. These are your sheep. This is your flock. And their value is beyond dollar signs, beyond description. And you hold us. We love you. We love you, Jesus. Amen.